Hi, I'm Michael Van Cleek. I'm tapped into the vibe and the rhythm of the river of the city of Portland. And you are too, because you're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. KBOO's Board of Directors meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
You're listening to KBOO's Catalog of Connections year-end campaign, where we bring you a range of community-oriented programming built by community members like you. Help KBOO reach our $75,000 goal by December 31st, so we can bring you another great year of cutting-edge radio made by you, for you. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321 to contribute today.
Welcome to Labor Radio on KBOO Portland. I am Michael Cathcart.
And I'm Elliot Gilland.
Thank you so much for joining us. We would first just like to give a special thanks and shout out to the Labor Radio Podcast Network for hosting podcasted versions of our show each month. Be sure to check that out at laborradionetwork.org. And KBOO is in the middle of our Catalog of Connections year-end membership campaign, which is focusing on the gift of community-driven media. KBOO is commercial-free, volunteer-powered radio made possible by people like you. In fact, 80% of our funding comes from our members. So if you can, please help us reach our $55,000 goal by becoming a member today. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. We here at Labor Radio thank you so much for your support. So now on to our discussion for the day. Amazon Teamsters at two New York facilities, one of which is the JFK-8 facility on Staten Island, and the other is the DBK-4 facility in Queens, have voted overwhelmingly to authorize strikes following Amazon's illegal refusal to recognize their union and to negotiate a contract, which is, to address the company's low wages and dangerous working conditions. Now, on this show, we've talked extensively about the JFK-8 facility. They were, you might remember, the first facility, Amazon facility, to unionize in the country, which was, historic, and it did lead to a lot of backlash. Like, a lot of the main organizers there did end up being terminated for, quote-unquote, unrelated reasons. But that unionization drive took place in 2022, so we're now talking about almost three years ago. And at the time, 5,500 workers at that facility, they made history, and they joined the Amazon Amazon Labor Union, which has since been rolled up into the Teamsters, the one of the largest unions in this country. So that's the first facility that has decided to go on strike. The other one is one that we've discussed a little less, but it is just as important. It's the DBK-8 facility, which it's the company's largest delivery station in New York City. And the workers there voted overwhelmingly to join the Amazon, labor union, which is part of the Teamsters union, back in September. And so both of those two facilities are planning to go on strike if the deadline is not met, if the negotiation deadline is not met by the company. This, of course, has huge implications for a shipping and logistics company. Maybe some people don't use Amazon, but I would have to imagine that a majority of Americans are getting a lot of their holiday gifts sent to them via Amazon or via, one of their facilities.
Yeah. And the DBK-4 is the largest delivery station, basically in the area.
Yeah.
The area being America's largest city.
Yeah. And New York City being a hub for not only the largest population, but also, I imagine, a lot of things distribute from there out to the rest of the country. So yeah, there is a chance that if this does happen, this could mess up the company's holiday profits. It could screw up gift deliveries for a lot of people. So this is a big leverage point for the union. And basically, they've called for a multi-day strike to lead up right up to Christmas and potentially through the holiday. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons for why this is happening. But one of the biggest is the fact that the workers at that JFK facility, the first one to unionize, they voted to unionize in April of 2022. And since that point, they have been basically working without a deal. They have not had a contract. The company has basically decided not to come to the table and negotiate with them. So they have opted to unionize and have not been able to get a contract from the company through that entire time, almost 3 years at this point. You know, they've said that they've basically, the workers there have said they've basically had enough and they need a deal right now. And they're aiming to send a message by taking this holiday peak season and using that as leverage against the company to kind of force them to the bargaining table.
Well, and also too, I mean, use the last days of the Biden administration to not have like basically federal government interference. Exactly. Right, because I, you know, if they tried this next Christmas, who knows what could happen?
Yeah, it is interesting because last month we talked about how, you know, there could be some parallels between the second term of Trump and the Reagan administration. You know, similar type of trajectories, yeah, and types of presidencies. And it would be interesting because Reagan, you know, one of the big things Reagan did was make an example early on in his presidency of the Air Traffic Controllers Union. Mm-hmm. And basically when they went on strike, he just fired all of them and hired scabs. And as a result, there's been kind of a industry-wide issue, you know, issues reverberating from that for, you know, the last almost 40 years now. It would be interesting to see that if this were to have happened next year, or if this does maybe happen again next year during the holidays, what the Trump administration would do as opposed to what the Biden administration is likely to do. Yeah. I think you're exactly right. Like the Biden NLRB has already been much more friendly to this union. They have allowed, you know, they have sided with them on a number of occasions, and they've basically not done anything to block the union from continuing to organize at facilities all around the country.
Yep.
So yeah, moving into the Trump administration, we will see if this type of thing gets squashed a lot more violently. But the Amazon labor union president, whose name is Connor Spence, in an interview recently told More Perfect Union that, quote, Amazon only speaks one language, and that's money. We're going to hit them where it hurts until they decide it's time to come to the table, end quote. And so, yeah, like very clearly they've chosen an opportune moment here, a time when Amazon, you know, I don't know the exact numbers, but I would imagine they maybe do some of their best business of the entire year.
Yeah.
In this, you know, 1 month period here. And so they're using the leverage that they have to try and, you know, get the company finally to come to the table with them. And so, you know, workers at the JFK facility in Staten Island have shared similar complaints that we've heard and we've talked about from Amazon workers all around the country. The major issues are extraordinarily demanding working conditions combined with mediocre pay and benefits. And they've also made clear that, and maybe this is exactly why they're choosing this moment, but they say that those issues are, especially some of the more workplace safety issues, are exacerbated during the holidays when workers, you know, routinely fulfill hundreds of millions of orders. And so the workers are also upset about being asked to work 11 and a half hour days, 5 days a week, which is, you know, it's one thing if you're doing that and sitting at a desk or inside an office. It's another thing, yeah, when you're doing it on your feet in a dangerous facility like that, like physical labor. So all of those are pretty legitimate demands. And just to sort of underline why some of these workers might be concerned about that, especially as that leads to fatigue or it leads to mess ups or, you know, any kind of chaos on the floor for those workers. In 2022, Amazon workers accounted for 36% of all warehouse employees in the U.S., but 53% of the injuries. So more than 38,000 injuries. And that statistic is according to the Warehouse Worker Resource Center.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's pretty clear that workers, they are already at risk. We've talked a lot about Amazon workers getting injured and dying on the job. But when it comes to these very busy seasons, the company like routinely cuts corners and bends rules, creating unsafe working conditions that, you know, basically lead to more injuries and potential death from some of these workers. And Amazon really just does that in an attempt to increase the number of packages that move and increase profits here.
Mm-hmm.
So just to sort of highlight that, Justine Medina, who is an organizer who worked at Amazon for who has worked at Amazon for 3 years, told More Perfect Union that, quote, everything you read, every horror story you read about Amazon is true, but worse. And that's why I voted to strike, end quote. So, yeah, like these workers have described, you know, listening to interviews with them and seeing, you know, articles written about this. The workers are describing situations where, like, there's chaos on the floor. The conveyor belts that bring the packages through that they have to, you know, box up and tape up and ship out, those get so backed up that they're basically forced to pull boxes off of them and create, like, precarious stacks next to them on the floor. And, of course, you know, you don't know what type of materials are inside these boxes, and some of them topple over, and that's so people could be crushed by that. It also leads to situations where, you know, if you're trying to maneuver around all of these stacks of boxes, you maybe can't see around them, and there's also tons of, like, forklifts moving through and heavy machinery. So it just creates a very dangerous situation where people are far more likely to be injured by falling items or by machinery.
And, you know, we've also talked at length about how, you know, weather situations, especially more on the in the Midwest and then on the East Coast, where hurricanes on the East Coast, but tornadoes more in the center of the country, also can cause, well, should be causing delays in packages.
Right.
But because Amazon wants to keep the number of packages and the efficiency of each warehouse at a certain level, typically we see, you know, people staying, having to be forced to work through those sorts of things, or being told if they leave, they'll be fired, things like this.
Yeah. I mean, as a perfect example of that, it was back in December of 2021, I believe, but there were workers at a facility in Illinois, at an Amazon warehouse facility, that it was six people died when a tornado hit the facility and it collapsed. Because the even though there was a tornado warning in the area and workers tried to leave, asked to leave, the bosses wouldn't let them. They made them continue to stay in the facility.
Yeah.
In some cases, continue to make them work until the facility was struck and a part of it collapsed. So, yeah, like, I think that's a great example.
Yeah. You know, and obviously we've talked at length that, like, the just-in-time kind of logistics system that, you know, has been pioneered over the last 20 or so years, you know, it helped cause some of the problems that we saw during the pandemic. And it also led to this drive for efficiency that is also creating warehouses that can't sustain damage like that, right? Or are just poorly built and constructed. Yeah. So, you know, in addition to all the things that you're talking about, the literal building they're doing the work in a lot of times is just of a lower quality than it was prior.
Yeah, like, can you imagine what it would be like inside an Amazon warehouse facility that has boxes stacked on racks all the way to the ceiling, and all the things that we order, you know, all the different types of materials that might be inside those boxes or, you know, loose within the facility.
Yeah.
If all of a sudden you have a tornado come through and knock down an entire wall of that and things go flying like that.
Yeah.
Tornadoes obviously are already incredibly dangerous, but with flying debris of all the different packages and things we order. Yeah.
Well, and we've heard stories of people basically using water bottles like as a restroom at their station.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, imagine that it's already precarious and you're not paying attention because you're relieving yourself at your station because you're not permitted to leave. I mean, these are crazy working conditions that only get worse during the holiday season.
Yeah, because, like, yeah, obviously there are the physical issues of that, and there's also the temperature issues, you know.
I mean, yeah.
These warehouses often don't have temperature regulation. They don't have air conditioning or heating that is effective to any degree. And so if you're in there in the middle of winter, and, you know, even if you're moving quickly and you're bundled up, it could still be very cold. And if you're in there in the summer and you're hustling and bustling around and then there's no air conditioning, it could lead to, you know, issues like heat stroke or, you know, other types of exhaustion-related injuries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a great example, unfortunately, of that is back in December of 2022, which is interesting that it happened also in December, something around this holiday time. But a 61-year-old worker at a warehouse in Colorado Springs died of exhaustion-induced heart attack on the job. And they did not shut down the facility. They had people continue to work in that facility. But, you know, very clearly, like, this time of year already drives an increase in the workload that they have. And then if you know, if someone is maybe if someone is in poor health and is continuing to have to work, that might lead to be a deadly combination for them. There was also another worker in July of 2022. So in the middle of the summer, a 42-year-old worker died of a heart attack on the job during the 2-day Prime rush, so another busy point for mm-hmm. Amazon, where they increase the number of packages and kind of increase the demand of what they expect the workers to do. That worker died of a heart attack again while on the job. So this is not the first time that we've seen Amazon push workers to the brink in order to meet their demands. And this is not the first time that we've seen workers have, you know, physical injuries or, you know, unfortunately death as a result of that. So all of that really does point to the fact that the workers at these facilities in New York have every right, or their concerns are very valid, that they basically need a union contract because of what the next month, this holiday season, could bring for them. And of course, all of the time they do that they work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and also, you know, we've talked so much across all of the different strikes that we've covered on the show about how the productivity of a worker has gone up. And I think a lot of that in context, and especially for listeners in their minds, they're thinking about office workers, right?
Yeah.
Instead of sitting at a desk with pneumatic tubes, right? You're sending emails, you're doing things on your computer. But also the average productivity of a warehouse worker has also gone increasingly high, right? As yeah. technology has improved and the speed of things and all this sort of thing. So it's not just the safety. I mean, I think the productivity of these people is kind of crazy on a scale that we've really not seen before.
Yeah.
You know, if this was 30 or 40 years ago, their workforce probably has to be immeasurably larger mm-hmm. than it is today.
That's a great point. I do think that a lot of times when we discuss specifically Amazon, you know, a lot of different companies, but specifically Amazon and this type of work, it is largely based around concerns of safety or lack of benefits and those types of things. But I think mm-hmm. that very basic point is spot on, which is that regardless of whether or not you think the work is skilled or whether or not you think it's, you know, worthy of union, whatever it is, the work that they're doing is far more productive than
the output yeah. is just larger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Amazon as a company is far more profitable than any company has ever been employing workers doing this type of work before.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, you know, almost exclusively on the backs of the workers producing better output than they've ever been able to do before. And therefore they should get a larger piece of that profit
at
pie.
Least keep up with inflation, yeah. right? At least keep up with the cost of living in the area that they are, things yeah. like this. Yeah.
Yeah. That's another great point too, that we're looking at two facilities in the New York City area, the yeah. region of New York City, one of the most expensive places to live in the country. And these workers are not getting higher wages than they would be getting at another facility in a cheaper area. Therefore, they have even more demand to mm-hmm. ask for cost of living raises or inflation raises or just raises in general, because they have to try and live somewhere near the facilities that they're working at.
Yeah.
And at the pay that you get working in an Amazon facility, there's no way you can afford to live comfortably in New York City. Yep.
And I think we can comfortably say a group of workers working without a contract don't already have standard issue cost of living wage increases.
No.
So that's not happening.
Yeah. Not especially in yeah. a job like they're doing. We're just going to take a quick break here. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Labor Radio here on listener-supported KBOO Community Radio. We'll get back to our discussion in just a moment. But first, I wanted to drop a quick reminder that KBOO is in the middle of our Catalog of Connections year-end membership campaign, which is focusing on the gift of community-driven media. So please consider showing your support and helping us reach our $55,000 goal by becoming a member today. You can go to kboo.fm/give, or if you're using the KBOO mobile app, just click on the big donate button. We thank you so much for supporting community-powered radio, and now back to our discussion of the potential Amazon strike here in the holiday season. Just following up on what we were saying there, it does seem like the workers have every right to be concerned about safety and, you know, other benefits issues, but just the fact that they have been working without a contract means that they have not been seeing any type of inflation raise, cost mm-hmm. of living raise. And on top of that, these workers specifically are working in one of the most expensive housing markets.
Yeah.
So they are very justified in what they're demanding yep. here.
As the stock market soars. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And as
and profits have never been higher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just saw, I don't remember exactly where I saw, but it was a post by, I think, the Teamsters Twitter feed that said that During the time that you read that the Twitter post, Jeff Bezos had made $10,000, which seems
yeah.
That seems insane, but also if you take a step back, it isn't actually that insane. It's probably very true. So if you consider,
I mean, they had $15 billion in profit last quarter. Yeah. There was a Teamsters quote again that was saying, you know, don't tell us they can't afford to bargain a fair contract because we know what they make.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And like those profits are public. We're very aware of how rich the company is and how rich Jeff Bezos, the owner of that company is personally.
And I think to be fair to the story, right, obviously justifying, you know, why the workers are doing this, but kind of going next into, you know, what happens now.
Yeah.
As of this recording, tonight is the deadline for Amazon to respond.
Yes.
And as Mike and I are recording, they have not yet responded. Correct. Right. So this is an updating story, but you know, the company has basically repeatedly failed its legal obligation to engage in the negotiations. And tonight we're going to see what happens.
Yeah. And you know, there's absolutely a chance that by the time that you are hearing this episode, the company has come to its senses and come to the bargaining table. To work with these, you know, to hash something out with these workers. Mm-hmm. That does not seem particularly likely given their track record. Because as you said, they have just consistently failed to meet that basic legal obligation to meet with these workers. The workers at that facility, at those facilities, have been working without a contract for going on 3 years now. And, you know, Amazon has basically chosen through the way that they've interacted with all the different workers that have opted to try and unionize at their facilities around the country, that they are much more comfortable ignoring this and attempting to undermine the legitimacy of these workers' right to unionize than they are at all with just coming to the table and meeting with the workers.
Yeah.
That's pretty clear at this point. You know, and so basically the way that they do this, like Amazon pushes their workers closer and closer to a strike just by, you know, their refusal to engage with them. So it's not shocking that the workers would be doing this. And the thing is that it's not only at these two facilities here in, or, you know, there in New York City, but momentum is continuing to grow throughout Amazon's ranks all around the country. You know, the organizing wave that has been unfolding for the last couple of years has really picked up steam recently. And it's been an unprecedented explosion in organizing. There are 7 facilities around the country that have organized with the Teamsters just in the recent months. Since September, this September here in 2024, warehouse organizers or warehouse workers in San Francisco and delivery drivers in Queens, Victorville, City of Industry, and 2 facilities in Atlanta have all opted to form unions with the Teamsters and to demand recognition from the company. So, you know, meanwhile, workers at the company's largest air hub in Kentucky walked off the job in protest of the company's unfair labor practices. And back in August, Amazon workers, Amazon drivers in Palmdale, California, secured a monumental victory when the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, determined that Amazon is a joint employer of its drivers and therefore has a legal duty to recognize and bargain with the Teamsters. And, you know, just really the last few weeks, like just this month, over 1,000 Amazon workers at the company's KSBD air hub in San Bernardino, California, decided to form a union with the Teamsters and demanded union recognition by holding a series of marches on the boss at that facility, most recently this past week. And so the workers there at that warehouse, like KSBD, is a crucial hub for Amazon's logistic network and the largest air facility on the West Coast. So again, you know, we're talking about major, you know, the largest distribution center in New York City, you know, one of the American, the country's largest city.
Yeah.
And then we're talking also now about the largest air logistics facility on the West Coast, which, you know, the West Coast, obviously San Bernardino is in Southern California near Los Angeles, but if things flow through that hub, they go to all the major cities on the West Coast, which again is another, that could potentially lead to another huge blow to the company's profitability in this holiday season here. One of the workers at the air facility in San Bernardino said, quote, "As Amazon prepares to rake in record profits this holiday season, it's time Amazon workers get our fair share. And that's exactly why we're joining the Teamsters. Every day we're on the job, we're breaking our bodies to get packages out on time and to keep Amazon customers happy. In return, all we're asking for is living wages, livable wages, fair treatment, and respect. For a company worth trillions of dollars, that should be bare minimum," end quote. And, you know, that basically just echoes exactly what we've been saying, that, like, this company is the most profit, is one of the most profitable in the world, and the share of that profit to their workers, the ones creating that productivity, has not at all kept up with their increasing profits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so workers at the KSBD facility in San Bernardino have been organizing for years to hold the company to account. Back in July, they held an unfair labor practice strike over retaliation they faced for union organizing. And in September, when wildfires in California caused intense heat and dangerous fumes at their facility, Amazon refused to safeguard their health. So KSBD workers marched on the boss and successfully shut down operations with full pay until conditions improved. So another example.
Huge.
Yeah, exactly.
Gigantic.
Like weather-related, environment-related issues that the company refuses to deal with, yeah, and forces workers to work in unless the workers organize.
Yeah. And we could go into it longer, but yeah, obviously as Amazon probably being one of the largest contributors to climate change, just on the sheer scale of things that they do, right? So the irony, I don't think, is lost on anybody.
Yeah, like you're absolutely right that, you know, obviously we've seen a lot of the new electric Rivian vans. Yeah. But still, you know, those are getting plugged in at a facility somewhere. And then we've talked here about two air hub facilities.
Planes.
So they're flying planes constantly around this country and around the world to deliver our trinkets and our goodies.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, absolutely. Like there's a direct correlation between the continued expansion and profitability of Amazon and their, you know, the expanded logistics network and the increase of these wildfires and terrible environmental conditions that have directly affected their workforce. So, you know, there is all of this basically leads to saying that there is growing momentum that is inspiring more and more Amazon workers to join, you know, the union by the thousands. You know, there's been 7 facilities in the last half year. There's been 10 facilities in total that have opted to join the union. And this is likely not going to be the end of that, especially if we do see a strike right now and we see positive results from that. It is, you know, it stands to reason that this will just continue to grow momentum.
Yep. And obviously the news is going to be forthcoming, right, with what happens. So we really recommend that you keep your eyes peeled to KBOO as well as the rest of our colleagues on Labor Radio. Obviously, we'll be back in 1 month, but so many of our colleagues will be reporting on this as it happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can't wait to kind of give you guys an update on what's going on, but obviously stay informed yourselves.
And be sure that there's an option when you do order something on Amazon. If you type in the last package that you ordered, you're able to give your driver a tip on there. So be sure if you are using them for your holiday season, check that out and be sure to help your driver out and share a tip with them. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Just before we officially sign off here, I'd just like to give a quick appeal to you, our dear listener, to help KBOO reach our $55,000 year-end campaign goal by showing your support today at kboo.fm/give or by texting KBOO to 44321. Or if you'd like, you can support the much beleaguered United States Postal Service by mailing your donation to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Every donation is very much appreciated and helps us continue to bring you all the grassroots, independent, and one-of-a-kind programming that you love. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we are out of time today. Thank you so much for listening to Labor Radio. I have been Michael Cathcart.
And I'm Elliot Gillen. Thank you.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Ready for another year of grassroots community radio? With your support, it's possible. Go to kboo.fm/give or mail a check to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon.